Well, good morning and welcome to the Monday Recap. My name is Dre Clark and I'm the discipleship pastor here at Grapevine's First Baptist Church. And I'm joined with our lead pastor, Doug Page, who did a sermon yesterday on the resurrection, on the I Am statement. So Doug, so glad you're here. And listeners, thank you for joining our podcast today. Let's get right into it. So very first thing, Doug, for people that want to just have a quick remembrance of what we talked about yesterday, let us give a quick recap of yesterday's sermon real quick.
Really, what we were looking at is with I Am the Resurrection and the Life. It's such a familiar story. It seemed like any Christian has heard about, you know, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And so I really felt compelled to talk about a really relevant situation these days that we all face, and that is the reality of death. And so I brought a guy on who is a funeral director to kind of talk about leading us to death and being prepared for death. And then I talked about the afterlife. But I used the story and how you really saw how Martha and Mary and their questions developed and how they talked about what they believed. They knew God could do anything. And in fact, Martha even mentioned that she believed in life after death. And so I took a moment to look at what was going on during that day. You had the Greek and the Roman influence. You had the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and looked at what that was about. But really came down to the conclusion, and this was sort of the statement in, as the resurrection and the life, Jesus has authority over life, death, and eternity. And so I really wanted to unpack what that looked like. And I used an illustration. I brought some people on the stage and I thought about the stage representing timelessness. Mm-hmm. And then there was a rope that represented a beginning and an end. So you had the beginning of time and then the end. And so we had people like would grab the rope. And there are three exit points that we talked about. One of them was death. Of course, you leave time at death. Another one was the rapture. We can talk about a little bit later. And then the other one was the end of time, whenever Christ returns and all is done and we are now in eternity forever. But one of the things that I did, and I can see how it could be confusing, but I will tell you, so I used kind of a flow graph to talk about what people believe about the afterlife. And there are really a lot of different things you can look at. But one thing I wanted to stress is, and I mentioned a statistic, Pew Research mentioned that 83% of Americans believe in some sort of life after death. Now, there are different varieties there. You have reincarnation. You have some who believe that you just kind of go to this happy place, which is neither good nor bad. Then there are, of course, some that believe in a heaven, some in a hell, some in a temporary hell. I mean, there are so many different ways to do that. But what I was ultimately trying to do is show that at the end, what you're really looking at is there are some who believe that we're on this human point system. Yeah. So if I live a certain way or do a certain thing, hopefully the good will outweigh the bad, then I get to go to this great place, whatever you want to call it. Mm. But the other side of that is what we understand in Christianity and through the Word of God is His grace. Mm. And so under that line, it talked about how it is through grace that we are saved through faith. But I did a little sort of a trick, not really, but something to think about. Underneath that grace element, I put hell and I put forever with the Lord. And I used the 1 Thessalonians passages to talk about that. But what I was really trying to emphasize is we are in this standing of depravity. We are in that spot of a direction away from God, which we know in Scripture talks about hell, right? And so the grace element is that is how we get to be forever with the Lord, is that we receive through faith that grace in Jesus Christ. And so ultimately, who is the gatekeeper? Who is the one? That is Jesus Christ. And it is by His grace and grace alone that anyone enters into eternity forever in heaven with Him. So that's a broad summary. About 1,000 other things I could have said.
Yeah. I loved it. I thought that it was so important. I mean, you're starting with this question of what do you believe about eternal life? What do you believe about life after death? And you kind of, in your message, let the listeners or the congregation wrestle with this concept. But then you brought us to where I think ultimately the scriptures bring us to, which is the Bible is not a book about how to go to hell. It's a book about how to get to back to where God designed us to back with that grace. And so the idea of wrestling with the reality of death, but then pointing people towards the life and freedom that we have through the grace of Jesus. Really good sermon, really good message. And loved having Cody Walker up there. I thought that was a really cool thing, bringing up a funeral director.
What a great guy.
Yeah, it was a really good dynamic sermon. So Doug, my question to you is There's a lot this week that I know you could have said. You have pages of notes I'm sure you had to shuffle around. So what is something meaningful or something that you would have liked to have said if you had more time?
So there are really a couple things I would say. One is I feel like it could have become a little confusing because I had to move so quickly through some things.
Yeah.
And I appreciate what you said, that it became clear at the end that it is through the grace that we are saved. And it's all pointed to grace. But there were times along the way that I'm giving all these options that people believe where I can see how that might could be confusing. Okay, so is he saying that reincarnation is a possibility? Is he saying? And so I think I would have taken more time to clarify that all of these things are what people in our culture believe.
Yeah.
And so that's a beginning point if you're having a conversation with someone. But when we come back to scripture, there is clear, clear evidence of how we have eternity with God. We are forever with the Lord, which I will talk about this next week, forever with the Lord because of what the grace of God has done for us. But the part I didn't do, and this is used a lot if you look at commentaries and all that, this passage also talks about the new life we have in Christ now. Okay. And so when Lazarus was raised from the dead, he had newness of life. And so now he's a walking miracle. And if I had had another 15 minutes or so, I would have talked more about that because Romans chapter 6 talks about that we are buried with Christ unto death and then raised to walk in newness of life. And so I would have spent more time in what that means now. Yes, we have forever with God, but the life we have now, we have that new beginning of eternity right now with him. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Christ lives in me, right? So you have all of these different passages I just didn't have time to get to. So it's not just looking toward heaven, which we do, and we know one day we'll be with him forever, but we're with him right now.
Yeah.
And so that newness of life has begun. And so I think I would have taken a little more time to talk about the grace that we need right now, not just in eternity.
That's good. I think that that's so important though, because a lot of Christianity can, if we're not careful, tend towards escapism. It can tend towards this idea of I'm just trying to get to the end. But the whole point of the story is, how do we live life today? So the reason God lets us know what the end is about, it's kind of like whenever you read a book, if you want to know what the story's about, go to the end. But the end of it shows how we should live in light of it. So it's living in light of the end. It's living the story now, knowing that if this is where everything comes to, this should set our priorities, this should set our actions, it should set the way that we think, the way that we spend our days. Yep. And so I love that kind of that piece of the takeaway from this message is not about look at what we get one day. It's living in light now. The already not yet is a theological way of talking about this. It's living now already what will be later. And that's a lot of the Christian life. It's right. You know, we are declared new creations, and you know, we still are struggled with sin, but we live in light of what is true about us, what will be true about us. And so really, really good point. And a lot of people want to hear more about that. Keep coming to our Sunday messages because we talk about that every single week.
That's right.
What does life look like now? Doug, wonderful. So I got one more question for you, kind of a theological question. In your illustration, you mentioned it earlier in this podcast, you had the rope and you had the three exit points. And so you had death as one exit point. You had the second coming of Christ. Those two are pretty theologically sound and orthodox. There's not much disagreement if you're a Christian that those two things, or if you're human, those two things
it's gonna happen. He's coming again.
That's right. Yeah. The Christian church has always believed in the second coming. It's a baseline of Christianity in many ways. But you mentioned a middle point, which is the rapture. And so this is a highly controversial point. There's a lot of my friends, a lot of my pastor friends would not hold that there's a rapture. So my question to you is simply, do you think it's okay to be a Christian and maybe not hold to the rapture? Does that compromise scripture in any way, shape, or form? Does that issue, if we have people in our church that maybe don't hold to that doctrine, is that one that's primary, secondary? I mean, where does that go in your mind, and how would you explain that to someone?
Yeah, I would equate it to this, and then I'll get into the detail. It's sort of like the whole Calvinism-Arminianism argument. Can both be Christians? Well, the answer is, of course they can, because it's by grace through faith. And so you argument a tenet where if you go extreme Arminianism, then you can lose your salvation.
Yeah.
Well, as a Calvinist, they would say, well, I disagree with you, but if you have salvation, I say you can't lose it. So even if you think you do, you can't. So, you know, it's kind of that thing. And so the thing with the rapture is this, and there has been a trend even lately in what I've heard with some writers that I won't mention, some real popular writers today, where basically what's going to happen is all of a sudden Jesus just appears.
Yeah.
Like there he is. And it's like, whoa, right? And so there's no rapture at all. I hold to a rapture, and there are a few reasons for that. But it's not just First Thessalonians chapter 4, though. I do believe it talks about the word is to snatch away, to take away. Revelation chapter 12, it's either verse 3, 4 talks about that you have the woman who gives birth to this child, and you have Israel, you have Jesus, who is that child, the church. But the same language is used, that there is a snatching away, a pulling away, same exact word that is used there. And then I think about how even as we'll look at next week where it says, Jesus says, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Now you could say, well, that means you're just receiving, you're just going to kind of be with them. But when you hear that language, there seems to be a movement. There's a movement away. The other thing that I look at is where when you think about the timing and you start looking at the end of days, if you don't have a rapture, then there's a good section of Revelation, which I know is apocalyptic literature. Mm-hmm. There's a good section of Revelation that you do not know how to deal with. How do you deal with a tribulation at all?
Yeah.
If you don't have a rapture. And so I know that's sort of deductive reasoning,
yeah.
But at the end of the day, if you believe there's not, and I believe there is, I don't think that's a test of fellowship or of faith. I think that it's something we wrestle with together, as I mentioned, Calvinism, Arminianism. I think there's going to be a lot of things. It's not a basic tenet of the faith. Now, there are going to be those who are not going to like that I said that, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But there are going to be those things we just don't agree with, and that's fine. But I believe, again, that Scripture teaches clearly in some places, but even with deductive reasoning in others, that there is going to be a time where Christ comes to receive us into himself. Now, the timing of it all, I do not know. Is it soon? Sure. It's sooner than it was yesterday.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I love that. I think what you're saying is some in some sense that there's an old quote that says, in the essentials, there's unity. In the non-essentials, there's diversity. In everything, there's love.
That's right.
And so we're saying that when it comes to second coming, well, I think that's an essential piece.
He's coming.
Historically.
Yep.
But in maybe issues like this, rapture, Calvinism, Arminianism, there's some diversity there, but we got to be loving in it. And I think it's important for people that are listening to know that that's your job as a pastor is to preach and interpret and to get on the stage and say what you believe. There's one of them's right. There's either a rapture or there's not.
That's right.
And so it's important to hear that, but also inviting people. And that's part of this podcast, inviting people to process and think through that. And so, yeah, I think it's helpful to hear that if maybe you're listening to yesterday's message and you're not really there on rapture or not, or maybe you have a different belief system, it's okay to have some diversity here as long as we're loving. And then the end goal is to go back and study. That's what this podcast is about, is to keep Sunday going on Monday and Tuesday and dive deeper and go search the Scriptures for yourself. Yeah. And that's a healthy process of how we grow. So,
yeah. You know, I think there's for some reason a tendency now that, you know, we want to call out the heretics and the false teachers, and we start labeling any diversion from what I believe, well, you're a heretic. And I think it's important to understand, if there's anything that diminishes from the deity of Christ, if there's anything that says that there is another way to heaven except through Jesus, then yeah, we can label that a heresy. Yeah. But to disagree on how this or what that happens, what does sanctification really look like? We could take a million different arguments. Those aren't heretical. Those are opinions. Those are interpretations. There are essentials.
Yeah.
And like, as you said, and each time you preach, and all of us as we pastor, because we're not just preachers, we want to show love and understanding and a lot of grace. Because guess what? At the end of the day, I could be wrong on some of these things. And, you know, I want that grace too.
Absolutely. I am the resurrection, the life. Another great saying by Jesus, another great message. Doug, thanks so much for preaching and bringing the word yesterday. And thank you, listeners, for joining us on today's episode of the Monday Recap. We hope to see you next week. Have a good one.